recorded live.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, fellas. How are we doing this evening? And welcome again to another episode of the From the Head of Household with the great group of www.householdstress.com team and friends and family. That's all that love to come and get on this call every single night. We got a good one for you tonight. We got a good one for you. If you like reading books, but sometimes you don't have time to read the full book, or you like to know a lot of different things, but you don't have that time to get all the great details and you want to just get to the main points, you know, you can go in any bookstore. You can go in any bookstore and you can find the book, and then right beside the book, it has the Cliff Note version. That's what I call it. And they usually call it Subject for Dummies. So what we're going to do tonight is the Cliff Note version. And we made it high level, but we want to break it into what majority of the folks that get on this call, and that's Marriage with Dummies. But we broke it high end as the title tonight and the topic tonight is Relationships for Dummies. Relationships for Dummies. Anybody should be able to grab this book and they want to pick it up because they want to find out, what does that mean? You calling me a dummy like I don't know how to, you know, get a good woman, how to treat a good woman, how to make our relationship work. I got to go to a book? Man, you got to be crazy. I'm a pimp. I know exactly what to do. I'm a grown man, as some folks used to say. Well, let's open this book and let's see if that is a true statement. I think we'll find out tonight. We all have different views, and each and everybody's book is not the same. If everybody's book is the same, I think we wouldn't even have this call. So because we have different books, let's find out and put our Cliff Notes together. Couple things we're going to think about, and what I want to do and what the fun I want to make it is, I'm going to give you the chapters of the book, and then I'm going to ask you to pick a chapter, and we're going to go through it, because it's Cliff Notes. We don't go straight through. We go through what we need to go through at the beginning. So things you need to know about this book, this Relationship for Dummies. What kind of relationship are you in? Are you married? Are you single? Are you engaged? Are you just looking? And if you had that, you're in Borders and you have that book in front of you now, what chapter will you turn to first? So now, listen up, guys. It's real simple, not too many chapters. But I broke it out for regular single guys before marriage and then marriage chapters. So I'm going to start off with the single chapters because we were all single once, so you probably went through this chapter with a breeze. First date, weekend getaway. Friends, chapter 4 would be being needy. Chapter 5, ready-made families or ready to make a family. And then chapter 6, the breakup, why we couldn't get to that next step. All right? Anybody want to talk about that? Anybody want to start off in one of those six chapters? Well, I'll pick one. Friends. When we're recording and we want to get everybody, you know, we want to find this right person. This right person, you know. And we found that we think we know who that person is. We do a lot of things. But we always like to brag on our friends, too. Is that a defect when we're looking for somebody? It's because we want bragging rights. We want to brag on the person that we have found and not really find out about that person. We want to show how beautiful she looks, how she treats us, the things she does. Is bragging an issue when it comes with your friends?
You know, I think that, you know, that's always going to be part of it. But what my feeling is that a lot of people really don't know what the purpose of dating is.
The word.
And, you know, as a matter of fact, I was speaking to a young lady tonight about it, or this afternoon, and talked to my daughter all the time about it. But the purpose of dating, you talk about, relationships for dummies or what, and you know, what is the purpose of dating? If dating is the beginning stages of a relationship, what is the actual purpose and definition of dating? And really, you know, in my book, you know, Understanding Dating, dating is looking for the values in the person that you are looking for to spend the rest of your life with. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that dating is mating, you know, or dating is just going out having a good time. But the real purpose of dating is to find somebody that's compatible for you to spend the rest of your life with. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't really understand that. And like I asked this young lady today, 18 years old, I said, "You want to be married one day?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I do." I said, "Well, what are you looking for in a husband?" And she thought, and she said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Well, how are you going to know when you find it?" You know, and I think it's real important that we sit down, evaluate what the purpose of dating is, and then, you know, figure out why we're dating and what we're looking for. And if you don't know what you're looking for, at least you know what you don't want and what your deal breakers are, you know. And if you can put those things down, that gives you an idea of how to start the beginning processes of eliminating people. I mean, you know, this might sound kind of trite, but one of my deal breakers was if she smoked, that was it.
That was the burner right at the beginning.
Right.
You know,
and you're right about that
because one thing we just talked about before we hit the record button was when we get into a relationship or we're recording, we're going to find that person. We're a predator now. We're going out. Do we have a plan in place, or is our plan our visual? And we go along as we see that person.
Well, I think for the most part, people don't have a plan because they don't understand what the definition or the purpose of dating is.
You know what? You're 100% right.
I think it starts with visual. You know, like you said, and then you kind of go from there.
Yeah, but one thing I know about relationship is you never talk, right? Nobody teaches you how to get a woman. And so, this relationship for dummies is saying, hey, you need to start putting techniques together to improve and build on a relationship with the person. And no one told me at the beginning that the easiest way to get the person that you're looking for is by sitting down and just listening to them.
Mm.
You know, listening is a big part, I mean, because it goes out through marriage. It's because when you get married, I mean, right now, if you look in the book, you don't see listening. You see communication, right? I need to communicate to them, but you never see, even in my book tonight, when you see the chapters, you never see anything about listening.
And the funny thing is, when we're in that dating or courting stage, we guys probably do the most listening at that point than the rest of our lives. We got a goal.
Yeah, we got a goal, but we listen for short term, and I don't even think we listen enough to really dissect what that person is saying. We listen to them enough just to say, okay, what's the next step for me to get into these draws?
There you go.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to put it out there. I may be wrong, but I believe I put it out there 100% right. Anybody think different?
I do.
Okay,
I think differently on that one. I honestly believe that as men, we know the difference between something that you want to hit and run and something that you want to marry. And a hit and run, yeah, I guess you trying to figure out how to get, you know, into the whatever you want to call it, draws or whatever. But when somebody that you want to marry, you go about it a totally different way. I think you pay more attention, you're on your best behavior, you're asking the right questions, you're being, you know, you're just doing all the right things that, you know, that's going to get you to achieve that goal. So I think it's two different types of people that we are when we're dating. We're that person that, you know, that wants to stay loose, commitment-free, and then we're that other person that's looking for that commitment, that long-term commitment.
Yeah, but how many 19-year-old guys are thinking about their wedding day? How many 19-year-old guys are thinking about that long-term relationship?
Well,
how many
I didn't know.
25-year-old, 30-year-olds,
I mean,
40-year-olds.
I didn't know it was an age thing, but you know, there's people that are on this call that have been married at that age or have been dating the same person since that age, and they knew at that point that they were going to marry them.
The guy that got married at 20 got caught up in the okey-doke.
Okay.
Well, because for me, in my case, I think I had a plan. Because, you know, my wife will tell anybody on this call, I told her at the beginning that you're the one that I'm going to marry. She thought I was crazy. But I put that plan together to get to that point. Now, was it a short-term plan? No. It was a long-term plan? Yes. Would things change? Plans, like I said before this call, plans are made to be broken, so the process never works the way we want it to work, but we want to make sure that it kind of goes still in that way, even if we have to make amendments down the line. But I think I had a plan to get my wife, and that plan has got me through 18 years together with
her. Yeah, I mean, you know, the woman that you get, that you know that you're going to marry from the first sight or whatever the case may be, the plan is different than the one that you know you're not going to marry.
Mm.
We all date women that we know can't be Mrs. whatever your last name is. We already know that. But there are some that can have your last name, and the plan is different.
Mm. Do we treat that person, if we know we met a person, and we're still on just the singles chapter here, we haven't jumped in. I got the same questions that's going to be reinverted into the marriage part, but just think of this. When we see that person, and we say, and just like Rodney said, it's visual. The first thing we look at is visual, okay? Regardless of what age we are and where we are in our life, is the first thing we want to do is jump into bed with that person?
No.
Or do we treat that person different than somebody else right off the jump?
Well, I think it depends, like Tony said, it depends on where you are. I mean, if you're at a point in your life where you just out to gunsling, you're not, you're thinking about, okay, what's the right thing to say? Actually, you're thinking more of what's the wrong thing to say, because, you know, as long as you don't say the wrong thing, you're still on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not speaking from experience. This is what I heard.
Oh, I don't know. I done said some wrong things in my lifetime. I'll be the first one to admit I slipped up on some wrong occasions and said some things wrong.
See, that'll get you put up in the stands real quick.
I've been in there.
Yeah, you know, you'd be up in the friend zone then.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's not where you want to be.
Trying to get back. You can't score when you're in the stands. You got to be on the field. And if you don't say the wrong thing, you know, you don't have to say the right thing, but if you don't say the wrong thing, you could still be in the game.
Yeah.
You know, waiting for that, you know, for that opening, and then you break through it. But if you say the wrong thing, that shuts it down, man. Quick.
Ooh, yes, it does.
That's what I heard.
That's what you heard. Well, it's happened. I've been in that cold stands. I've been in left field. I've been that last person out. When you're hanging with your boys and you're the only one sitting over there in the corner.
Yeah.
But then there's all of these other times. But that's one thing. I mean, we're going to move on pretty quickly on singles because majority of us is married on him, so we're going to get to the real business. But I want to get this out because it rolls right into what we're going to be talking about when we're talking about marriage, because we're going to end up coming back to these chapters. All right, I'm going to say the chapter again for the new ones, new folks that are all coming on. We got six, seven chapters in our singles chapter book. And what we want to do is just talk about all of them, but we're not going to talk about them in any order. But the order here is chapter one, it's first date. Weekend getaway is chapter two, friends, being needy, ready-made friend, families, breakup, the big breakup. If you meet a girl and she already has a family, does that, and you know this is the one, do you accept that family? I mean, do you accept knowing that you're walking in with somebody who already has different responsibilities and that's not on your level?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Because that's sometimes a reason why, and the reason why I'm going to ask is once we get to married is because you're trying to find that one. Everybody's looking for that one. Okay, I found my soulmate. I think we even had a show on soulmate. Is my wife my soulmate? But you're trying to find that soulmate right now. And with that, you're not going to try to have sex on the first date. We already went through that chapter. We already said that, you know, friends can be a factor. That person may have their own different lifestyle. But if they have a family already, because, you know, they've been through life. They're 34 years old, maybe have a kid, two kids, three kids. How does that affect you and your mind process of making this your wife, this lady?
Well, I know for me, when I met my wife, she had a 10-year-old little girl. And, you know, I was at a very different stage in my life at that point. And the thing to me when things got, you know, more serious, I had to ask myself a question. My kids were already raising out the house. You know, do I want to go through being a daddy again? Okay, because this is going to be her child. This is going to be my child, our child. You know, this is not going to be my stepchild. I'm going to raise her as mine. Is that the commitment I want to make? So that's a very different thought process than, you know, 21 chasing the buoy. I understood at that point what my role and responsibility was going to be, and when I got married, you know, I was going to go back into, you know, daddy of a teenage girl, which if you haven't been there, it's a nice trip.
I haven't gotten there yet. A little nervous right now.
Yeah, not looking forward to it either.
Matter of fact, I got an application to give you for these dudes to fill out when they want to date your daughter.
Yeah, I got one of them.
Maybe you don't even
know. I need to get one of them applications. I need to find out what that application says. Because mine is, are you a male? Yes. No. Not until she's 18. Now, am I going to win that battle? No. But that's my plan.
Well, I want to
got
tell
a plan
you,
in place. I got a process in place.
I'm going to tell you what, that is, you know, we joke about that, but there are actually some people that believe that, and that's one of the worst things you can do to your children. Because, first of all, if you put that kind of proclamation and tell them, you know, this is the kind of stuff I hear, like my daughter's, you know, friends' parents say, some of them, you're not dating and, you know, until you're 18, you're not dating, this is the time for you to focus on your schoolwork and blah, blah, blah. Well, that all sounds wonderful, but in the real world, that's not real. You cannot stop the attraction of two 15-year-olds, okay? I mean, it's natural. And if you do that, what you've done is you've either made your child a liar, because now they can't talk to you about it. They can't talk to you about what's going on in their heart, inside their mind. Or you've set them up to, when they leave the house, to break totally wild. Dating is a process, and we really encouraged our daughter, and still do, to date, because we want to teach her not. And for me to be able to translate from girl language to guy language, and if you make those kind of proclamations, they can't do that because they can't come to you and say, "Daddy, I'm interested in this little boy, and I just want to be friends." And this is what he said to me, and this is what I said to him. In a little girl's mind, this is all peaches and cream, and this is wonderful. Now we know what the translation means in our mind. When she says, no, you know, I'm not interested in sex, and he says, well, that's okay, I can wait for you. In her mind, she's saying, oh, I found one. In his mind, he's saying, when the door opens, I'm in.
All right, so now I got a question for you, and this is for anybody who's probably on their second marriage or they're dating somebody who has a wife and kids. I mean, has kids from a previous relationship. When you're going in the single stage and y'all going out and y'all getting closer and closer, when is that conversation comes up about discipline? How are you going to allow me to discipline your child? And if that or if you don't get the right answer, is that a showstopper?
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know if the conversation comes up. I think what a woman is doing is actually waiting, and if it's the woman that has the child, she's waiting to see how you're going to react, whether you're going to step in when need be, or you're going to sit back and just be a spectator.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a proper time to step up to the plate, and, you know, obviously the beginning dating stages are not those times, but as you start to get serious toward the point that this is the person you want to ask to marry you, those are conversations that must be had. Speaking of which, we had a couple in for counseling last night. Their biggest issue is she had two children or has two children, and the kids don't respect the husband because the wife hasn't given him the authority to discipline her children. And now it's causing major disruption between her and him.
So that is a big issue when you're trying to build that relationship and you find out that this lady right here is the one. You're compatible. You both enjoy sports. You both love to be together and do things together. However, we got a monkey wrench, and that monkey wrench is the discipline of a child. So, are you willing to give up? This is the person God said He wants you to have. You found your soulmate, but are you willing to give up that soulmate just because of that issue?
One of the things that I strongly, when I was dating Glenn, if Deja was not on board and she was against us being together, I wouldn't have forced the marriage. Because it would have really caused a problem. And like I said, talking to a couple last night, basically they said to their 13-year-old daughter, this is the way it is. We're not even asking your opinion, and deal with it. Okay? And they are dealing with it. They're dealing with the fallout from it. Now the son, who was 16, is now 20, and they're dealing with the fallout on that. And there's a delicate way to go about. A lot of times people don't quite understand the definition of discipline, which is to teach. But people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can't discipline a child if they don't know you love them. They won't receive it. Oh, they may sit there, but they shut down.
Listen, I've had some friends that have gone through that. And even through the marriage, you know, they accepted that they were going to fall back on some issues with the child because they love their spouse, you know. However, there's times where you, just like you said, those conflicts come in where the kid knows that and uses that against your relationship. How does that affect, your relationship? I mean, with that person, does it make you say, and this is the last part of the singles chapter where I'm talking about, is the beginning of the breakup. Is children the cause of the beginning of a breakup?
Children can be the cause of a breakup if they're your own biological children.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it works either way. But you still have to be the man in that relationship.
Yep.
You know, and that's the most important part, you know. You have to make them understand your role, whether they're kids, you know, from another marriage or not. You know, you can't let their father, you know, dictate what goes on in your house. You can't let the mother come in and say, well, this is the way we did it before. Well, you know, situation is different, and I have to be the man of this relationship, and your kids are going to have to respect that. And then on the same token, you have to be someone to be respected as well.
And I agree with you 100%. That was the exact counsel I gave the husband. You know, I said, this is your fault and your responsibility because you dropped the ball.
Yep.
You passed the pants over to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And want to try to put them back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you got the genie out of the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, now you still got to get it right, but this is because in the beginning you didn't let it be known that when you live in my house, you will be my child and I will raise you as mine. And you didn't put that woman in her place and in her line when she started to buck up against that. One of the hardest things to do is to allow someone else to discipline your child. It's very difficult because your instinct, I was a single parent when I married my second wife. I had two children. It was very difficult for me to sit back and allow her to discipline them. But if I overcut her and cut her down, they would have never respected her.
No.
Never. This is good. This is good. Now I want to move on. It's about close to 9:40, and we're all married men on here. So we know about things that go on. If you want to go back, we can go back at any time. Just let me know. But let's go to what we're really here for, the marriage chapters. Okay? I'm going to give you a couple chapters. We don't have to go in order as well. I got more chapters. I got about 9 chapters in the marriage chapter. I know a little bit about this, not too much about the singles. We'll go on, I'll throw the chapters out here, and then we'll go from there. Chapter 1, Finding Mrs. Right. Chapter 2, Growing Closer. Chapter 3, Arguments, The Fighting Fair. Chapter 4, Being an Individual. Chapter 5, That's His Job. That's Her Job. Not Mine. Chapter 6, Getting in the Way. Chapter 7, Getting Anything You Want. Chapter 8, Stress, and More Stress. Chapter 9, Money Matters. 10, Sex and Excitement. And that 11th chapter, where we really don't have to, but if we need to, Separation and Divorce. So let's focus on finding out the truths that keep our marriage strong and find out any common myths that will undermine our relationship. So I open it up. The first one I really want to talk about is there the only one person right for you? Is there in this lifetime only one person that's right for you? We talk about it all the time. Are the person you with now while you're married the only person for you?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest fallacies in the Christian church, especially amongst women. God sent me my husband. That's my husband. He made me. God.
Yeah, I don't think so. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
How to pick, huh?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll wait to finish.
God gave us parameters on how to pick a spouse. He didn't make one person for us, and we're going out to find that one person. He gave us parameters.
He said, you know, one of the things he said was, don't get unevenly yoked. Make sure this person, you know, has the heart. Make sure this person has the character, this and that. He allows us to pick that person. And we can go outside his parameters, but then we have to deal with it. Okay, all right. So I just love this woman. She's a Muslim. I don't care. And then you marry her, and how are you going to raise the children now? So now you got to deal with it. If you decide to, God gives us parameters, and he says, pick somebody within these parameters, and things will go well for you. But you can force the issue and pick somebody else. But now you're going to have to deal with the fallout. But there's
I haven't heard it that way before. With, you know, God has given us parameters. But keep going. But I haven't. That's new, but I might have a question on that one. All right, keep going.
Does give us parameters on how to pick a spouse, okay? And if we choose to adhere to his word, things will go better for us. But he allows us the freedom to pick the one, you know, that we want, you know, and he gives us parameters to pick with inside of. But I don't believe he designs one person that says, this is the person that I'm making for you, and you should search the world for that.
But stop right there before you get going, because somebody wanted to say something against that. And I want them to jump in right here, and then we can keep it moving.
Yeah, I'm not going to really say anything against it. I actually agree with him.
Oh, okay.
The woman that was for me when I was 17 isn't the same woman for me now at 40. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just you change, people change, situations change, things change. You know, maybe you are fortunate enough to stay with that woman throughout all the changes. That's a good thing. But I think an average situation, a person will actually grow old of a relationship and then meet the right woman once they get established and settle down. I could be wrong, but that's my situation.
You know, I would agree with that. To the point that you have to know who you are before you get married and what you're looking for. If you get married at whatever age and don't know what's important, when you start to mature and realize what is, and you turn around and look at that person and they got nothing what you got, that's a problem. But you can, you know, that's what I was saying from the beginning. If you understand the dating process and you understand what your core values are, generally our core values don't change. The external stuff changes, but who we are and what's important to us, once we find that out, then we can figure out what we want for us in life. If you get married before you figure out who you are, then you're going to have a problem. Because you're going to find out who you are and that person that's laying beside you isn't going to be the one.
So wouldn't that affect the parameters that you set up for yourself? What if that woman or the spouse, maybe her parameters aren't the same as yours? Now
exactly. And the bottom line is, until you know who you are and you know what you want for your life, bringing somebody else in is a total disservice for them and for you. Because when you finally figure it out, good chance that's not going to be the one, you know. And if you don't know who you are, how in the world can you know what you're looking for in somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
What if that person knows who you are and you just haven't figured it out yourself, and they're trying to bring it out of you?
Maybe.
Have we been in or seen relationships where people stick with that person because they know their capabilities and they know what they can do? And they try to help them along to get to that spot?
Well, what I've seen is the people that, quote-unquote, help them along, they want to change that person into something that they believe that person should be, and that usually wreaks all kind of havoc. Because you're not going to change somebody. You know, when you marry somebody, you've got to accept them for who they are and love them for who they are. And if they change and grow into something better that you think, great. But if you go in saying, you know what, I see something in this person, I'm going to change them and bring it out, usually that's a woman, and it usually doesn't work.
Hmm.
Usually I don't run into guys saying, you know what, this is the woman, and I'm going to change her into the thing that I want her to be. Usually that's a woman's perspective. Well, you know what, I can, you know, I put this good loving on him, I can make him the man that I know he can be.
So, well, wait a minute, though. Let's be honest. That would exclude 99% of the women in this world.
No, that's not true. Women, every woman is not trying to change her husband, you know, into something that she wants him to be.
I think they give up. I think they do try. I think they just give up.
Why don't you take a survey of the guys on this call and see if they think that their wife married them with the intent to turn them into something else?
All right. Let's see. We got a few folks on the call. Anybody want to question that? Did their wives try to change them in some certain way?
Yep.
No, mine has.
Yep.
So your wife married you to change you.
She didn't marry me to change.
They don't marry you to change you. Once they have you, then the changing begins.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. It's like the changing begins. They like, okay, I got him on the hook. I got him on the hook. Once I get this ring and we move in together and when we get behind them closed doors,
yep,
it's all over with.
Yeah.
Okay.
First thing we're going to do is we're going to get you cleaned up. We're going to get rid of those funky whatever it is that you like to wear all the time. We're going to go shopping, you know. There's just certain things that there's certain plans that they have for us. You know, we have potential. That's why they marry us.
That's what I was about to say. And, you know, is it a bad thing?
They lucked up then, you know that? Because I don't have to deal with that.
Okay. But yeah, how do you know? How do you know that some of the changes that you've made to be better weren't by design?
Yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, no, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. And
I mean, because, you know, I think we're fortunate to have somebody that loves us enough to want to put in the time.
Right. Exactly. That's good words.
Yeah.
One of the things that really attracted me to my wife was that she accepted me for who I was. Because I came out of a marriage with somebody trying to change me into something that I wasn't, and I was never good enough. It wasn't enough. So I guess one of the things that really attracted me to my wife was that she loved me for who I was and where I was, and she believed that it wasn't her place to change me. That was God's job, not hers.
So there's no adjustments that she has to make.
What do you mean no adjustments?
I mean no adjustments whatsoever. Everything that you do, she's all right with.
Oh, I mean, come on. You know, nobody, you know, is perfect.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is the goal is not to say, you know, there are people that get married with the plans of, you know what, you know, once I marry this guy, then I'm gonna make him what I want.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I got him hooked, now I'm going to turn up the heat and change the game and make him into what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have to deal with that. But there are some people that's what they're dealing with.
To the extreme. Yes.
That,
100%
you know,
correct.
Got married, and the woman, just like you said, once she got the ring, she got you here, got you behind closed doors and said, okay, now, these are going to be the changes.
Sure.
You know, I didn't have to deal with that. You know,
yeah.
I'm glad. But, you know, and sometimes you can get fooled because you think you got somebody that accepts you for who you are, and then they start dropping the bomb. Nope. That was just the bait. Now we're gonna get you the way you got to be.
Yep.
Oh, you just went into chapter two, growing closer.
I just also believe that, you know, it all depends on how crafty the wife is, and mine. You know, before I got married, we would hang out with my single friends. Now that I'm married, I don't know what those single friends are anymore. I have no idea. She has found a way to, and I'm not saying, I mean, it's by design. Maybe I don't need to hang out with single friends anymore, but it's just, you know, everybody now is married, and I mean, it is what it is. So they find a way to eliminate some of the things that you used to do to make it some of the things that now, which is more beneficial for the marriage.
Well,
I'll just say it that way.
Isn't there, isn't there some equal validity to the men doing that to their wives? Now, they might be more vocal, possibly the women might be more vocal at the changing, but I think every person is really is always striving for something fresh, something new. I mean, if you just look at the gifts maybe that you purchase your wife, every gift that you get, say jewelry or clothes or whatever, is not based on her taste. Some things are based on what you like. Therefore, that's a subtle change you're trying to put on her.
Any to add on to that, but any arguments, aren't some of the reasons for arguments is for change? I mean, those debates, you know, because you can be very harsh to your lady, not mean to, but you come over because you want some particular change to happen. And so we use arguments as a, you know, a way of change. It may not happen that way, but you might, you know, that may be a way of change. You keep doing the same thing. You got to stop.
You mean arguing the point?
Yeah, arguing the point. Yeah, just arguing a point. You're trying to get a point across, and they don't get it, but you constantly, where you almost have to throw a thread out there.
I think when you're arguing a right and wrong point, then yes.
Yeah.
If you're saying you're right, my way is the right way and your way is the wrong way, then you're trying to force some type of change in that person.
Exactly. And the one thing that we have to remember, too, is that prior to marriage, we don't know all the ins and outs of the person until you really start living with them, you know, and you start spending that time and seeing how they handle their finances, how they take care of their clothes, laundry, dry cleaning, you know, or how they are with the kids. There's a lot of things that we don't know that once you discover these things and you say, well, that won't work, so we need to fix that. And a woman is famous for that. No, that's not going to work. We need to fix that.
So let me ask this question then. Do two people, man and woman, married man and woman, in a good marriage automatically grow closer within time?
Hopefully. I don't think it's automatic.
Automatically. I threw the word automatically in there for purpose.
No, I mean, just like anything, you know, worth doing, it's going to take work and a decision and a plan.
And maintenance.
Maintenance. There you go.
Maintenance. You got to change that oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny how people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm. You got to change that oil.
No, you got to keep it spicy. You got to keep it fresh. If not, it gets stale like anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you got to examine things, take it to the shop, make sure everything's all right.
That's right.
Right, you got to rotate those tires too, don't you?
Yeah.
You get a lot of tread on there.
Yeah.
Even though you may be thinking this, your relationship is going in the right direction, but your tread is saying something different because you need an alignment and a little balancing.
Alignment, good thing. Frame adjustment. Sometimes you need a frame adjustment.
You know, it's funny.
Y'all get that one tomorrow.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm letting it. This is why we're doing this call, Marriage for Dummies. Now, it's because y'all are writing a book. You don't know it yet. But you got about 3-4 chapters in the book right now. We probably can New York bestseller after this call tonight.
So here's a question. So can you ever know that someone is for you?
Sure.
That woman is for you, or you know, from a woman's standpoint, that man is for her.
Yep. It comes down to the first thing we talked about is figuring out what qualities you're looking for in a spouse, and you know, finding out what your deal breakers are. And if that person qualifies for those things, then it's somebody that you can seriously date. If not, you shouldn't even go into the dating process.
Hmm. Yeah.
But
now
wouldn't
how do
that
you qualify
be? But which, what? I guess here's my follow up to that is, but what you know is for you is only for that moment.
Yeah.
because you mature, you change.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say that you're a Christian, and one of
yeah.
the things that's a deal breaker is the woman has to be a Christian.
Okay.
Let's just say that you decide that you don't want to raise someone else's children. So a deal breaker for you is they can't already have children and you know, baby daddy or baby mama drama. All right, that's
mm-hmm.
not you. All right, and let's just say that, you know, you're looking for somebody that, you know, has, you know, stability in their finances. All
mm-hmm.
right, you can get core values that don't really change.
That those can change, though.
They can change.
They
yeah, sure.
Change.
Those all of that
sure.
that can change.
All of that change. Sure.
I think that has to change because
on a hot afternoon.
Because your standards. I mean, sometimes men. I mean, and probably women too. Can we have a case where we set our standards too high?
Of course.
And they won't be to the point where this person has no ability to make those standards.
But that's why I say your core standards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all have to examine what we want. All right? Now, if you get to the point, well, you know what? She got to be, you know, 110 pounds. She got to have, you know, 36 C's. She got to be this. She got to be that. She got to be making this much money. She got to be living here. You ain't never going to find that. Core value. But your core values. I mean, whether you're, you know, whether you're 25 or whether you're 45, if you're a Christian and you believe that you should be with a Christian woman, that is not going to change.
Defining your good thing, is that based on what you want or what you need?
Ooh, good question. Because setting your standards would be very hard on what you need, because we usually set our standards on what we want.
Well, here's the kicker, is that what you need, you don't know.
You don't know.
That's true.
You don't know in 5 years.
That's right.
And dealing with your mom passing, or dealing with, you know, a kid who is suicidal or on drugs, or dealing with, you know, if you're in the military or something, a limb being shot off, you don't know what you're going to need. So I think choosing a mate, really, in terms of, you know, Christianity, and I don't want to really push that too much on this because I know there's other brothers on the call, but is that, you know, you're trusting, you have to, to some extent, you have to trust. You're going to have to trust God, whoever that is to you. You're going to have to trust. You have to trust to some extent because you have no idea what you need.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what Rodney said earlier, that it's got a lot to do with visual. You see with your eyes, and you're like, wow. You know, and then she talks to you, and that's working for you too. And then some of the habits and hobbies that she has, that's working for you too. And then you get to find out, you know, about her morals, about her home raising and all that other stuff. And it's all in line. And like I said, when that right one comes, we all know, because we're all married, so we all know that right one, okay? Whatever it is that we had this, our rules and our guidelines prior to, some of those were thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went the entire time saying I will never marry a woman that had her own children. Because of my children, I didn't want a conflict, okay? And I ended up marrying a woman that had her own child. So, you know, but everything else superseded my little rule.
So it's that never say never rule.
The never say never rule. You don't know. You don't know what you'll do until that right one walks up on you and you're like, oh, my goodness, I got to make a move.
Yeah, but don't we make decisions on the surface? I mean, you just said all the right things. But what happens when we start spending the weekends together, you know, and she's not wearing the makeup, or it takes her 12 hours to get dressed, and you know, she leaves the bathroom nasty or something, or she walked out one time and you just noticed she didn't wash her hands. Those little things you just start seeing throughout the relationship that's not on the surface, but you pick up throughout the relationship.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's got to be significant to the point where it's a deal breaker. You make the decision at that point. Okay, she didn't wash her hands. Is that a deal breaker? Well, we can work with that. You see what I'm saying? And they're looking at us the same way. You know, he got in bed tonight. He ain't take a shower. But we can work with that. And before you know it, 6 months later, you taking a shower before you get in bed. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. That's how it works.
All right. So even if you get past the surface and you know, you're getting into the real part of the relationship, you know, she's finally seen you. You finally seen the real her. You're not dating the representative anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're not married to the representative anymore. That 5-year honeymoon, all this is going to be so great. Now we got these bills. That changes the relationship too, right? That can affect the marriage when these bills. Now we got to sit here and talk about these bills. Is it too late then to make any changes if we, you know?
What change? What change can you make?
I don't know. We talked about it last week a little bit. Where you had some relationships that the compromise was separate bank accounts. Right?
Yeah, but, you know, that's a foundation issue right there. You know, if your marriage was and there's a lot of people that to get the woman that they married, they had to do and say certain things to make themselves appealing. And a lot of times that may have been finances, what I can buy you, what kind of life you're going to have, what kind of security you're going to have. Okay? So when the wife comes in on those basis and now the money's gone, you're going to have problems 9 times out of 10. But if you come in with it with just love, I just want to love you and make you happy. You see what I'm saying? That's a whole different promise that you're making to her. So then when you have money problems, it's not based on the money. It's still based on the love. So then there's ways that the both of you say, well, we can get past this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's. I think Andrew was saying earlier with having those core values and understanding those core values. It's like you know, buying real estate, you buy a house, and that might be cheapening it by using that analogy. But nonetheless, you purchase a house, you look at the house, and you go in. In most cases, women are worse at this. I know my wife is, and we were looking, but is that the scenery? You know, say the outside, if it has a water view or things like that, you're not going to be able to change that.
No.
You know, and so that's a plus to the property, or can be. It's on a golf course or something that's out of your control. You can't change that. However, my wife would come in a house and she'd look at, you know, if it's red paint in the dining room or something. She's like, oh, no, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And that's kind of a deal breaker for her. And it's like, wait a minute. We can change that. That's not a big deal.
That's right.
The house is still very valuable. You got to look beyond that, look beyond the old refrigerator or cabinet doors that it has in there. We can change that stuff. And so, you know, I think that's kind of the same thing that you're saying in terms of budget or finances and things. Those are things that you can work through. You can. I'm not saying that everyone does, but you can.
Mm-hmm. Good words.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, you know, that is not a change that you can successfully do, but it is one that you can work with. But one thing that I wanted to bring up is that it affects the relationship with argument. You know, these small little things, it's usually the small stuff that starts arguments. You don't really have too many big stuff that you argue about. But that affects the growth process, you growing together. It affects if this is the right person for you, if you're constantly arguing. Why is it that we argue so much and it destroys our relationships? What can we do differently?
When arguing?
Yeah. I mean, arguing is a big effect of what people, you know, some people argue every day in their relationship, and it's just part of life.
Some couples have ground rules for arguing. And I think ground rules are good, too. I mean, if you can hold on to them, you can obey them. You know, don't say hurtful things. Don't bring up the past. You know, keep it on topic. You know, arguments, you know, has to be solved now so we don't go to bed angry at each other. You know, I think that if we can talk about arguments and they have certain limitations, then it would be a better thing opposed to being a negative thing.
One thing that we really believe is that, first of all, you can't be in a marriage and not have disagreements, arguments,
for sure.
But you've got to protect the marriage. And what a lot of times people do is they end up in an argument and damaging the marriage because of the things that they do and say. And just like you talked about, Tony, not having rules that are put in place when you're sane and not crazy and upset, that both of you can agree to, because the marriage is more important than any issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they end up in an argument and saying hurtful things that 3 days later still hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that goes on through life. And the reason why I say that, because I see it. I see people that are still married, don't even sleep in the same room, don't even talk to each other. They're married. Maybe because they don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah. Well,
they've been together so long.
What's the front?
I mean, why do you want to be married and miserable? That's ridiculous.
Because it not only affects you, it affects your missus, but it doesn't affect your health and your kids' upbringing, and it affects a lot of people when you have arguments. And
not only does it affect that, it affects the next generation, because you are raising your kids and they're watching you on how to be a mommy or a daddy, a husband or a wife. And by you having destructive arguments and the children not seeing you guys coming together in love and forgiveness, that's what they're going to emulate in their marriage. Because that's what they've seen. We are our children's first and best teachers of how to be married, because that's all they know. They see other people from a distance, but are we setting the example, or are we being hypocrites? You know, I've got a 19-year-old daughter, and some of her friends have parents that, you know, go to church and play the game and come home and it's something totally different. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, we got to remember that the person that you love the most can hurt you the most.
You got that right, because you know how your defenses up.
And there's some things that your wife can say to you that will actually break you down to your knees.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of power to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's got to be some ground rules. And vice versa. Vice versa. You can say some things to her that will rock her to the core. You know what I mean? So vice versa, there's got to be some ground rules when arguing. Even if you don't voice the ground rules to her, there's got to be a limitation of the things that you would say. You know, like we know when arguing with our wives, no matter how mad we get, we never use the B word. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And that's just something that we have instilled with us, hopefully. But I think that it should go deeper than that.
I think, and we actually have the ground rules printed out in contract form that both people sign. Okay, that we both agree upon that these are the rules of the game. And if somebody starts breaking the rules, it's a timeout until that other person decides that they're going to start obeying the rules that both of you agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it needs to be written out.
And that's a good point, because we talked about a couple of weeks ago is marriage, knowing your vows is a contract.
Yeah.
And with a contract, should we have signed white papers is what I call them, you know. Sign tax plans on how our marriages should be run.
Yeah.
And if we go away from that, or if we need to make modifications year by year, I even talked, I think Ronnie talked about last week setting a financial budget plan for his kids and for his family. Are these the right things to do?
Yeah.
Of course.
Because to be honest with you, I haven't done it. I think we live day by day, to be honest with you. We go to work, and maybe I need, you know, maybe I need some help, or my routine may not be the right routine to follow as a marriage. But, you know, we get up in the morning, we say I love you, we get in there, we brush our teeth, we get the kids together, we, you know, I drop the kids off to school, she picks them up, I go to work, she goes to work, we come home. It's like a normal routine every single day. It's like standard. We sit down, we say how your day is, my day is, we watch a little TV, we eat, we go to bed.
But I think what you consider a normal day is a classroom for a kid. So they do learn one way or another, whether it's good or bad. It's really up to how they use it. But they are learning, I think, day by day by watching, whether that's finances, whether that's relationship, whether that's how to be social, or, you know, so forth and so on. They do how to care for themselves in terms of health, what to eat, all of these things. They, you know, life is a classroom to them while they're young, and they watch us on our, quote, day-to-day. We don't even recognize what we're doing because it's second nature. It's like breathing to us, but it's a classroom to them, and they are picking it up and they are learning it.
And one of us, to broaden on that, they're watching how we interact and learning that's how to do it. So, I mean, and it's so sad, but you decide, you know what, I'm done with this marriage because, you know, you're not this, you're not that, I'm not happy, whatever the situation. And what you're doing is you're setting up your daughter or your son to do the same thing. And all of a sudden, they get in a marriage and they're 28 or 30 and got a couple of kids, and their husband's done what you walked out on your husband for, your wife for, and they're going to emulate that. Well, you know what? Mama didn't stand for that. I'm gone, too. Or Daddy didn't, but I'm gone, too. And you're setting them up by what you've done to emulate that.
And you might be right, because, you know, in thinking about it now and just visualizing how I was brought up, my parents both worked. They both had multiple jobs or worked long hours. They both worked in the community, did volunteer work. But somehow they always fit, you know, got it in to be at my stuff or my sister's stuff. Hey, there go Barry Black right there. Oh, sorry, y'all. Just saw Mr. Barry, Chaplain Barry Black on TV. But these are the things that it affects. It may have affected me because now I'm following that same routine. Is, you know, I'm working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing things for the kids, but that focus, that balance that we talked about, you know, with the tires and that alignment,
mm-hmm.
It may be off because I'm doing too much working and not spending enough time home with
right.
the kids.
So well, and
you're helping me out here, so appreciate it.
Hey, Ronnie.
I was just going to say, well, to probably not, and as a kid myself, in the sense of I have parents and I'm still considered their baby, even though I'm well over the baby age, is that to give them some credit in saying, you know, I've watched them do that, doesn't necessarily mean do something. I've watched them do something wrong. Doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to do it wrong. I think some things in watching my parents in their relationship over 55 years that they've been married, I've seen some things that they've done I believe is right, and I've also, because I'm an individual, I've also been able to digest and look at some things and say, that's wrong. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to live like that or have a relationship like that or finances or whatever it is. I've been able to look at those things and discern them for myself. So I think, you know, give the kids some credit of them being individuals that they won't necessarily well, it's not a given, I guess, to say that they'll do 100% of what the parents do. But so they're able to discern whatever's wrong in the relationship. But, I mean, I do hear the point of it's not good to put that in them because if they don't have another outlet, maybe to see something different or to hear something different, then that is what they become.
Mm-hmm. Words. That's good words. Anybody else want to elaborate on that? Well, good. Pursuing your own individual needs. Is that incomparable in what makes a marriage work? Pursuing your own individual needs? Because I'm assuming we all have standards of what we want in a marriage, but we also have our own individual needs. Does that fit the marriage plan, or do we try to fit it in and squeeze it in somewhere in our marriage plan that affects the marriage?
No, I think there has to be a balance.
Yeah. Everybody needs their me time.
Yeah. If you just say, well, I'm married and I give up all of my ability to take care of my needs, there's going to be an empty spot you got in you.
Mm-hmm.
Individual, and like I said, you know, yeah, we do have priorities, and yeah, you know what, the kids need this, and the kids need that, the wife needs this, the wife needs that, but I think there comes a time that you got to make sure that the things that you got, you know, there's got to be some balance.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Host.
If you don't have a balance, you're going to end up resenting them and resenting being married.
Ouch.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that we can sometimes have a warped sense of priority?
Wow.
Yes.
Meaning that as men, we know that we have to go and work and, you know, and we have to go on business trips and we have to do whatever it takes to bring home the bacon. And in our mind, that's our priority. And then we neglect what is also a priority because of, again, thinking that that is what we have to do as a man, other than ballet, homework, movie night, date night, things of that nature, making that a priority as well.
Now, see, Tony, I didn't know that you did ballet.
I'm talking about, you know, for your kids.
He had daughters, you know, He had a ballet recital or a piano recital in there somewhere.
Oh, I thought you were talking about ballet for you. I thought you were talking about
soccer practice, whatever the case may be.
But I think it goes back to what Andrew said before, is that it's all about balance. You know, yes, you do have to bring home the bacon, but at the same time, yes, you do have to participate or, you know, be involved with your kids' activities. But I just want to, you know, thinking on the topic that we have tonight, relationships for dummies, marriage for dummies. When you think about the word dummy, it's really no excuse in 2011 for us to be in relationship or marriage and still be dummies. There's so many resources that are out there, including this forum that we have here on Tuesday nights. But why is it that we're still, you know, I guess not seeking out those resources or, you know, whatever the case may be, but it's like in 2011, it's no excuse for the divorce rate to be consistently 50%, you know, whether it be 2011 or 50 years ago or whatever the case may be. It's actually increasing. At the same time, where we have more information, more resources to help us in relationship and in marriage, I think it's kind of oxymoronic, you know, if you really think about it, because it's so much that we can do to improve But yet it's not happening. We're still.
I think the reason for that is that after 2 years of this call, we don't have 1,500 men on here.
Yeah, but
okay.
But the main thing is that the reason why this call is tonight. We always want the quick option. We want the quick answer. We want the quick out.
We want to do what Tony said and do maintenance on a regular basis. We want to, you know, okay, when there's a problem, we go and take, give me the magic pill, but we don't want to eat right, exercise on a daily basis for our marriage. We just,
right.
We want a quick fix, and we want to put it on automatic pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And therefore, you have guys who have been on the call within the last 2 years, but have chosen not to get back on, more or less, I think, because they thought they were going to end up having some type of support group, you know, to have pity parties with and so forth and so on. And that's just not, that's not what the call, that's not the format of this call.
No.
Right.
So, I mean, it can be an eye-opener. It can be an eye-opener. And I think in marriage, you got to have thick skin.
Yes.
I think that is one of the prerequisites for being married. You have to have thick skin. Sometimes you have to leave your emotions, check them at the door sometimes, not all the times. And sometimes on these calls, you know, you will get a chin check. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is, you know.
One other thing, Tony, I think we have to learn how to pick our battles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We have got to learn to pick our battles and see what is really, you know, something that we've got to fight for or something that we just got to, okay, that's just, you know, if you go and try to fight every battle, you may win the battle, but you're going to lose the war.
Yeah. I just think that the seriousness of marriage has changed to the point of, you know, back when, you know, it was, we're going to be married until we die. Now there's too many options for people. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, equivalent to, okay, you know, if it works, it works. If not, we'll just do something different. You know, they, you know, there's a handful of people that are married that are like, this is the decision that I made, and I've got to stick with this one, and I've got no other option.
People are married today, not till death do us part, but until a better deal comes by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I mean, that's the problem. That's that quick out, just like you said. I mean, you go to the, we got microwaves now because we don't feel like getting in the kitchen cooking. Now we, you know, we got fast food restaurants because we don't have time to eat.
That's right.
So you end up eating bad, I mean, which ends up affecting your body.
And it's getting worse. And it's getting worse.
And nothing gets better. It gets worse.
You know, people are buying houses over the Internet. People are buying cars over the Internet. They don't even have to speak to the people. They don't have to see it until they buy it. You know what I mean? So it's all information. It's fast, fast, fast. You know, so, I mean, you know, just where does that put marriage? You know, people are breaking up over text messaging now. You know, they're arguing. They're putting their business over Facebook.
Oh, my God.
You know, people, your Facebook friends know that you're having marriage issues. That's a problem. How can somebody be married and change their relationship status on Facebook? That's
amazing.
A problem. You see, so it's not really. So you have to be extra strong to be married now, and you have to have a no fail mentality, which I don't believe it is now. And just like Rodney says, there's enough information out there for somebody to be educated on how to be a better spouse, but are they exhausting those options? Or the exhausting the other option, well, you know, it just ain't working, so let's do something else.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
perfect example. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a perfect example. And I've got nothing against the brother. Got nothing against the brother. He's a funny character, right? But you write 2 books, maybe 3, on how to be a better woman, but you've been divorced 3 times. You see what I'm saying? Those are the people that we're listening to. Those are the people that have credibility now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, see, and to make it so bad, you know, now you have so much hatred between the exes that they're trying to destroy you.
Exactly.
You know, the sad thing is just like you said, there's so many options. And, I mean, just looking at our church, there's so many different things that married folks can plug into and learn how to have, you know, better marriages, how to learn things about that, but how many actually, you know, take advantage of it? You know, a handful out of hundreds?
Because it's work.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's work.
How people don't understand that it's critical to do maintenance.
Mm. You just said it, Andrew. It's work.
It's
work. You know what I'm saying? That's like somebody saying, okay, you're working at this job. You can get a $20,000 raise, but you got to go back to school. What they going to do? The person is lazy and be like, yeah, all right, I'll get to it. Or if they're ambitious, they're going to go back to school.
Yeah.
And get that money.
So I got a question for everybody. Should we have, just like we do at work, evaluations in our marriage?
Yep.
Once a year. Hey, you know, here's your goals. Here's your plans for the year. Did you meet those goals?
That's tough.
How many of us would get overachieved? How many were you just barely made it? How many underachieved?
It's hard enough just staying happy.
Right.
You want to talk about goals.
Exactly.
I think but now you have to have some credibility on what you do. And I'll be the first one to say, I wouldn't pass the whole test.
You wouldn't?
No.
No?
No, I would not pass the whole test. And that one of those reasons is what I told y'all before. Is, you know, I don't have everything in balance. I think the only way you will be able to get and when I'm talking past the test, everybody can get, you know, meets expectations.
Right.
But see, I'm talking about, you know, sometimes meet expectations or always meets expectations. And I don't think I'm there yet. And I think I'm just meeting expectation. I don't think I'm. If Sharon graded me right now, I would probably be meet expectation and not sometimes meet expectation.
So knowing that, what do you think you're missing?
Well, what is missing is I think we wait for the evaluator to come to us. You know, rather vice versa, to go to the wife and say, what can I do better? And what the problem with that is, that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, it's one thing when she say you need to do this, you need to do that. But if you go to her and say, really, I need you to tell me, how can I improve? How can I be a better husband, better father, you know, better whatever? And for her to really be honest with you, I mean, that's, you know, we don't want that kind of conversation, honestly. Because, I mean, that affects the ego. You know, for someone's like, you know what you need to do? You need to start doing this more, that less, blase, blase. I mean, it's a shot to the ego. And then especially to turn around and try to meet that, you know, to try to meet that goal, not just going in one ear and out the other, you know, try to really receive it and absorb it and say, ooh, you know, I think it's a bit tough. So
I disagree with you. I hate to disagree with you, but I kind of disagree with you on that one.
Okay.
And I honestly believe that in marriage, you got to check that ego at the door. You know, I don't think that when you ask your wife that question, she's not going to tell you anything. I mean, even if she tells you, okay, I mean, something that will really hurts our ego. You're not sexually satisfying me anymore.
Ooh.
I mean, think about that. I mean, for us, that's hard for us.
Come on.
That is hard for us to take it.
Right there to 10:30 market rent.
But listen. Listen, that's information we need to know.
Right.
I'd rather know that than not know it.
Yeah. Find out from Tyrone at work.
Yeah, you don't want to find out from Tyrone. You know, you got to check the ego at the door and be able to and be willing to say, and vice versa. Because I'm pretty sure there's some things that we can say that they have dropped the ball too. Literally. I mean, you know, dropped the ball. So, I mean, it works both ways.
But could we tell them that? could we literally tell them you're not sexually satisfied? I mean, really? Could you really tell your wife that without her being, well, who are you talking to? Who are you looking at? Well, you got somebody? I mean, they would just go off the reservation.
You know what? I agree they would. But I think, yes, if you don't have that type of communication in existence in your relationship, then absolutely. If you just jump all the way out in left field somewhere and just say, hey, you're not sexy, then you're absolutely right. You know, you might get slapped. You're going to get the extreme response of that extreme question. But I think if that's kind of a part of kind of daily dialogue, you guys kind of go extreme in your house, just, you know, in conversations here and there or whatever, then I don't see it as big a deal as maybe we're emphasizing on it now. For instance, could your wife tell you, you know, your breath stinks?
Yeah.
She can tell you you're breasting. Now, maybe there's a brother on the phone says, well, no. Or let me change that around. Could you tell your wife that her breast stinks?
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to handle that.
You say you need to handle that? Right. And so these are the type of obvious dialogue, whether it's game plan or things that you guys do on a daily basis. Maybe you do it jokingly
already. You don't
have
to be abrupt about it. You could just say, hey, sweetie, why don't you take one of these breath mints?
Well, it depends on that relationship. Like I'm hearing brothers, way some of the brothers are saying, it sounds like they just go straight out and be like, you know, like brother said, you got to handle it. Sometimes, for me, that's where it was.
Because we used to be like, here, I got gum. You want a piece of gum? You know,
right?
Like,
sure.
You know, you could just give her a pair of knee pads.
Mm-hmm. I understand exactly what he's saying because it makes sense. If you already have that kind of dialogue, it should be no problem. If you don't have that kind of dialogue, you need to establish it.
Yes.
Because if you don't, then you're still going to have something lacking that you don't know how to present it to your wife.
Then you're going to be dealing with Tyrone.
Yeah.
You're going to be dealing with Tyrone.
And that's probably why there is such thing as a Tyrone, because of the lack of the communication in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But by just talking about that, by just saying those things, got something for you. Can our marriage partner fill the gap?
Before you finish that conversion, question, you threw me off with that partner thing.
Oh, I'm fine. Let me change that around. I'm out. All right.
What kind of call is this?
Right. 2 years I've been on here thinking y'all had wives.
Right. This call is recorded. I'm sorry. Erase that off the recorder. Hey, but seriously, I mean, just think about it. In marriage,
mm-hmm.
Do we look for a spouse, or is our spouse in a position where they can fill in the gaps of our makeup? I mean, are they there to make us whole? Because we're not perfect, right? We never claim to be perfect. But the wife comes in to fill in those gaps where we're not perfect.
I think it's compliment is what they do is because they really can't make you whole. Only God can make you whole. But, I mean, really, they do complement where we're lacking. And the best thing for us to do is to acknowledge that and to realize that and to embrace that, which is not – that's easier said than done. It's a lot of things where we know our wives are right, you know, some things, but we'll go around the mulberry bush or whatever and then come back and be like, yeah, you know, I was thinking about what you told me 2 months ago and, you know, kind of go back with your tail between your legs. But, I mean, really, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, as Tony said earlier, I mean, you have to check that ego because it's a lot of times where she could be right on the money and you don't want to receive it because it's coming from her, that woman, You know,
right.
I didn't think of it on my own, you know, so it can be right. I ain't think of that yet.
Right.
You know, so I think we just have to, you know, just acknowledge that they are there to be our helpmate and compliment us. And, you know, they are our, you know, teammate, which we talked about last year, you know.
We
can always fall back to the Tony special. Because I said so.
Yes, indeed. It's only special because I said so. But just thinking about that, you know, I always kept in my mind that, you know, we always, when we do something, you know, I heard Tony say one time that what makes him have a great day on a Sunday is when his wife comes with him on to church. And he's, you know, she's sitting right there on his right-hand side. And that fills in his gap because he can focus more on the word because his wife is right beside him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we go places, my wife and kids are probably always with me. That keeps me focused. That fills in my gap. That fills in my happy gap. But, you know, what fills in my work gap is every morning is my wife picks it. It's funny. And everybody at work still laughs at me. They say, what'd your wife pick out for you today? Because I'm not ashamed to say my wife picks out my clothes.
I was about to say, you told your co-workers that?
Because she said, all right, you're going to work. Handle your business. Go to work. And having that listening ear, that fills in the gap, right? Because one thing we talked about in one of these old calls before is you don't want to have that listening ear on the outside of your home.
No.
Right.
I mean, the communication is huge. The communication is so detrimental. You know, when there's just certain things that you just can't say. I mean, and you're not going to be able to say everything to your spouse. We know that. But you want to be able to be comfortable to say the important things.
Right.
You know, the deal-breaking things. If there's a deal-breaker on the table, you should be able to say, okay, honey, I'm not going to come at you and say that it's a deal-breaker, but this is important enough that we need to talk about this. Because the longer you don't talk about it, it's going to fester, it's going to get worse, that cancer is just going to keep building.
That is true. That is true. That cancer will build, and it'll burn the home up. And just keeping on that cancer note, why is it so hard for us to communicate with our wives?
Some of us are just scared. I'm just going to put it out there.
There you go.
Some of us are just scared.
You're scared.
I had a conversation with my wife years ago. Early on in our marriage, because after we got married, it didn't take long at all for that old the old saying to be true of, you know, you get married and, you know, now the sex is gone kind of thing. You know, it's not there like you thought it was going to be there, what have you. And I said, you know, I finally said to her, out of frustration, but not out of anger, was just that you know, something's got to change here. This isn't working for me at all.
Yeah.
We've got to correct this. This is an issue for me. Now, you know, I wasn't afraid at what was going to take place in terms of that. And I think any brother, when you get frustrated to the point, here's a problem with the brothers. We allow ourselves to get frustrated to the point we get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we don't learn how to communicate. But when you get frustrated, that's the time to really before you start getting frustrated, but at the time you get frustrated or something's really bothering you, we've got to speak up then. But in most cases, we let it fester until it really becomes anger, and then we really never get no point across and, you know, just hurt people kind of thing.
Mm.
Mm. Good words.
Wow. Get to the point where now it's, I'm not going to say anything to her. Now you're on get back stage. You know, she should know better. She should know what I want. She should know. you know, instead of talking about it, because then we assume, you know, or maybe you had the conversation and it went in one ear and went out the other. And just like you said, when that anger gets in there, you can't even think rational, especially if it's got something to do with sex.
Uh-oh.
All the rationale, most of the rationale goes out the window.
Yeah.
And now it's angry, and that's how people live in separate bedrooms. People start cheating. People start doing all these kind of things because now it's like, I mean, have you ever heard of somebody cheating, hoping to get caught?
Uh-huh.
They're just careless with it, just straight careless with it, hoping their wife finds out. That's that anger. That's that neglect anger. You neglect me, so now I'm going to get back at you. And women do the same thing.
Wow. You mean there's men out there that want to get caught?
Yes. 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 For sure.
Sure, sure, yeah.
For sure.
That's evident in our action.
Yeah. Yeah, you can cheat and not get caught. And then you can cheat and get caught. Subconsciously get caught. You know, just by being careless. But you don't care at that point.
Right. When you do it in your house.
Yeah.
You obviously are looking to get caught.
Yes.
Neighbors and stuff around there, they know you and your wife or what have you. You're doing it carelessly, again, at the house where times where you know your wife might, you know, she's coming home at 5 or whatever, you finishing up at 4:30 or closer to 5, you know, as you can get. And that's just, you really don't care whether you get caught. And probably to some extent, as Tony's putting it, you want to get caught to some extent.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure, I told you so. I told you to, you know, to start fulfilling my needs more, or I'm just going to have to go somewhere else. And it's justified in their mind, maybe.
Exactly. And that's what fuels them, the justification. Well, she's not doing it. Somebody got to do it. It's her job to do it. The Bible said it's her job to do it. So somebody got to do it. So let me go and get it done. She's not on her job.
And you can't
and
get mad. I told you. Yeah, I told you this is what I needed, so you can't get mad.
Yeah, you can't get mad. Sorry. Keep it moving.
That's just being really hateful and despiteful, man.
Yeah, but that's what happens. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think that people cheat just because, you know, they think the grass is greener. They're just cheaters by nature. But some people want to get caught. That's why they do dumb stuff, like having affairs at work with maybe somebody in there happens to know their wife, or they've seen their wife, or they know their wife's going to be at the company cookout, and they have an affair with somebody else at work.
Wow. You're hitting home runs there, man, because you got me speechless on that one. I don't know why we would do that, but...
Mm-hmm. But that's good. I mean, if you can't really put your mind around it, that's good. That means that it's nowhere in your conscious or subconscious to understand. That's good.
It goes back to that, you know, I was thinking of that Chris Rock movie.
Yeah. Why'd I get married?
One of them.
I think I love my wife,
where he was in the car with his coworker. And his coworker said, "You're an emotional guy. It will never work for you.
Because
your feelings will get caught up in it. Where me, I pop a pill, do my thing, go home, and kiss my wife."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's because you don't work with Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Here's 10:45, and here's the top question of the night. Is the goal of marriage for both the husband and the wife to get exactly what they want out of the marriage?
Close.
Mm-hmm.
Close. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Close. I think I said it last week. You know, it's, you know, when you think about marriage, it's not about you. You know, it's about being a good, humble servant. And that should be vice versa as well. And I think it's reciprocated, you know, if we take that first step and make sure that, you know, we're taking care of our wives and, you know, as I say, the four L's, financial, emotional, physical, spiritual. As long as you're taking care of those areas, I mean, it will be reciprocated. I believe that firmly. But I think, you know, it's all about, it's not about you. And it's hard for us as men to get that out of our minds. And, you know, because, or just as humans, you know, humans in general are selfish, men and women, you know, boys and girls. It's just our nature. You know, it's all about us. And it's hard to, you know, beat that back and just deny that and to be a servant to somebody else, you know, in a lot of ways. So.
But that, I mean, that's a true statement, because I always tell folks, when it comes down to the end of it, once you say I do, it's not about you. It's not about the man. The man becomes last. And a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I think that it's always God first, family second. You know, whatever else is needed in the home, third, and then you last.
Well, I mean,
you got to say wife second. I think it's wife second.
Wife second, then family, then
yeah.
Whatever you do is last.
Mm-hmm. I think what, you know, I give you all a perfect example is that when you do something for your wife, it's good to get recognition and praise. But if you don't, would you still do it? You know, that's the thing. That's where I think we have to be. And it's, you know, because I can just think of several examples, you know, this week that I've done for my wife and hoping she'll notice, hoping she'll make a little comment. But in the same sense, I was all right because I know that it helped the family. I know that I made some sacrifices. And that, you know, I mean, they're minor, but in a lot of ways they're major. But again, it's, you know, I didn't do it for her to say, oh, you know, thank you for that. That would have been great. You know, that would have been great. But, you know, it was all about, I knew it would have, things would have worked out smoother if I did make that small sacrifice to rearrange what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, I think that's the point that, you know, you really know when you really in sync when you're doing, and I know, you know, my wife, is her thing is acts of service, you know, so doing stuff, you know, don't talk about nothing. Don't say you're going to do this or do that. Just do it. She don't deal with the talk stuff, you know, just show me. And, you know, so literally if I just do, I know she appreciates it. But if I don't get that encouragement, you know, it's I need that encouragement, but at the same token, I know that she appreciates it, even though she doesn't articulate it, you know, all the time. And she does sometime, but, you know, like I say, I think it's difficult getting to the point where you make that sacrifice and there ain't going to be no praise. You just walk in, it's like, hey, what up? You know, it is what it is, you know, so, but it's sometimes it, you know, it depends on what kind of day you had, you know, but.
And I can speak to that too, Rodney. I can speak to that too. The last time, I think it was the last time I had a marriage maintenance session with my wife, the pastor said that, you know, because I expressed the fact that she doesn't say I'm sorry. Well, not I'm sorry, but she doesn't admit when she's wrong very well. She has a difficult time saying I was wrong. And he explained to me that some people, that's just how they are.
Mm.
That I may never get that from her. But the question that he asked me was, are you willing to accept the fact that you may never get that and still get past it and go on?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I have to know that even though I know she's wrong, she knows she's wrong, she may never tell me that she's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I have to decide, okay, am I going to be able to get past it and keep moving?
Mm.
Or is it a deal breaker?
That's a heavy question.
It's a heavy question. Well,
a real heavy question.
It's not a deal breaker. because I know what I'm dealing with.
But it's a conscience breaker.
A who?
Conscience breaker. Yeah.
Yeah,
worried
well,
about it. It's a mentally it's hard to deal with. It's challenging. Mental challenging.
Yeah, but I think that goes somewhere along the line with the receiving praise issue. Because you may not because we need as men to receive some kind of recognition.
Yes.
Because we have egos. Our egos are just a little bit bigger. And we need to know, hey, you're doing a good job. Because I don't want to hear about everything that I'm not doing. And then I start doing it, and then I just don't get anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell me when I'm messy, when I'm not doing my part. But when I am doing my part, I want to know, hey, I see that now, you know, you're starting to do things differently. Because that'll make us keep doing it.
Yeah, you just actually took the words right out of my mouth because I'm reading this book right now, me and the wife. We moved on to another book, same author,
yeah.
But it's the 5 Love Languages for Children. And what they were talking about is when you have a child whose love language is words of affirmation, if you don't, you know, anything you say, it can either be encouraging or discouraging. And if the love language is words of affirmation, when you say something negative, it cuts that much deeper. You know, I think it goes the same way with men, where we need that encouragement, we need that constant stroking of the ego, whereas we know that she can cut us down and tell us what we're not doing with the quickness. It comes with ease.
Sure.
You know, but again, it's more difficult for them, you know, to do that. And as you said, Tony, as the pastor said, you know, we have to realize that that may not be their thing. Like I said, my wife, for example, is not into, you know, good job. You know, she's just like, you did it. Hey, that's what you're supposed to do. What you need congratulations for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, the whole thing is that she has, since that's her personality, she don't, you know, it's more difficult for her to even recognize, I need to thank Rodney for that.
Yeah.
I need to acknowledge what Rodney did or the sacrifice. It's hard for her mind to click over to that, into even that realm. And then it's another actual challenge for her to even mouth it, because that's not her thing. She don't deal with the talk. She's just like, just do it. Just do what you're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and that's the end, period, the end.
Mm-hmm. You know I'm getting ready to go there.
Uh-oh.
I can't resist. I can't resist. I got to go there. And I shouldn't go there, but I'm going to go there.
Go ahead.
And that's because, is Peyton still on this call? Because I ain't heard him all night, but I need him with me.
Yeah, I'm on there. I'm on here. I've been doing stuff. I had it on mute.
That's because they haven't had, and I, you know, I don't want to use the word training. So Peyton, what word am I looking for?
Internship.
That's it.
Internship. Would tell them what the man needs to make him keep on moving.
That is.
You understand what I'm saying? It's that internship. It's that sit down with someone that's been around the block of marriage and can say, no, you don't do it this way. This is what you need to do to keep your man heart ticking. This is what you need to keep him motivated.
Yeah.
You see, they go on their own knowledge of
right.
what they've learned throughout this marriage, opposed to saying, okay, well, how can I find out what happened in other marriages? How can I find the do's and don'ts? And that's kind of what we deal with here. We're dealing with someone that's dealing with living in the present.
Exactly.
Mm.
No GPS. They're dealing with map questions. Sometimes you know that will give you wrong information.
Wrong information.
Yes, sir.
Wrong information.
And I don't think they realize the power of just a kind word.
Kind word.
You know, or encouraging word.
Yeah.
Because it's out of the norm. And, you know, you even look at it, you know, break this thing down really quickly. You look in the workplace. Things go on in the workplace. And how often is somebody, whether it be a client, whether it be another employee, a fellow coworker, or whatever, how often is it where we hear that they didn't do something right? It's all the time.
All the time.
It's all the time. But on the flip side, how often do you hear a client come back and say, you know, that Tony Hawkins, he's a really great employee. Y'all keep him around here. You know, it's almost an expectation, you mm-hmm. know. But, and I know in my workplace, when somebody does something right, I make that effort myself because I can only control myself. You know, if they're going above and beyond, I'm gonna give them some type of recognition. I'm gonna call their boss. I'm gonna send them an email. Be like, yo, you know, John, you know, whatever, whoever, you know, it don't even matter. He's doing his thing. You know, I just yeah. wanted to let you know. Sorry to, you know, break into your day. I just wanted to call somebody and let them know that he's doing his thing. And that goes a long way because so often we're relegated to just, you know, all right. You know, checked all the bar. Okay, all right, get out of here. When you know, and as soon as somebody messes up, that's when we're ready to run tail that. You know.
Yeah.
But when somebody does something right, oh, you know, you ain't got much to say. It's like, oh yeah, I expect you to do it perfect. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So we can spend a lot of time. Again, we can get on these calls for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years straight. Figuring out how to be better at this job that we've chosen as husbands. But it needs to be on both sides if we're going to be successful. You know, it needs to be a situation where we're getting all this information from one another. We hear people on the call that's been married for 30 years, 40 years, whatever. So we're taking little bits from each source to figure out how to do this thing right. But it's got to be done on the other side as well. Because if our wives are staying in the same position, I mean, we can only teach but so much. We can only bring back but so much knowledge to the marriage. At some point, they have to say, okay, well, now I'm going to figure out how I can be better at this job that I've chosen to be, which is a wife.
And all you can do with that is pray. Man.
Yes, that's all you can do.
That's all you can do
is pray on that one.
Yeah.
And Tom, I hate to ask my next question. That was so good. We could end it off right. It's 11 o'clock. We could end it off right there, but I got one more question. I got to put it out there.
Sure.
I got to put it out there. Why do wives ration out sex?
Oh, God. Why? It's punishment.
Because they can. That's
punishment.
Your answer.
And do we do that? I mean, it's I mean,
no,
it has to go in the book. I mean, it has to be part of the book.
Okay.
Sometimes our wives or even us, I mean, we probably can do it.
No, we don't ever ration it out because the thing about it is you better be ready when they ready because you might not never get another chance. Fortunately. Then, you know, you might not necessarily be in the mood. You could be ill. You could have the flu-like symptoms. And if she came at you, you better get it together. You better get some Gatorade and a shower and be ready to go.
That's right.
Hey,
no, we don't ever do that rationing out. But honestly, in my opinion, I think it's kind of a punishment. I really think it's along the lines. I won't say it's always punishment because we all know that they're emotionally driven and things of that capacity. So everything's got to line up, the moon and the stars. You got to see the Big Dipper and Orion's belt all at the same time. You know, I see all that. But at the same time, I think that sometimes it is. It's just about, you know what, you haven't been doing right. I know you want this. I'm not doing it.
Mm.
I'm just not doing it.
That's a skill set, brother.
It's great. Yeah, it's a line, all that stuff. Yeah, that's a skill set. And the Big Dipper?
Yeah.
What?
I just don't think that we have the I don't know a word I'm looking for, but I just don't think that we're built that way, that we can ration it out. Because like you said, you know, when the time comes, you got to jump on it. That train comes, you got to jump on it.
Yeah, but do men ever get bored with sex?
If you have, if that's your one and only option, how can you ration it out?
That's your only option.
That's your one and only option. There's no option B, option two. That's your only option. How can you ration it out being a man? That's my question.
Good.
And yes, we can't get bored. For sure.
And that ends it at 11 o'clock, man. 11 o'clock, guys. I mean, y'all want to keep going or do you want to I think it's time for open mic. I think we made it through another good week of call. I swear these answers that you provided, these recommendations and suggestions and opinions, this is a book right here. This is a bestseller right here because I believe everybody was, you know, it came from the heart and that everybody meant exactly what they're saying. There was no beating around the bush. There was no playing. This is serious statements made by serious men on a serious call. So I do appreciate that and appreciate you spending your, you know, your Tuesday nights as always on this call. And with that said, we got another call, co-ed call next week, I believe.
That is correct.
I think that is, Ronnie, is that your topic?
That is correct.
And what is that topic for next week, sir? The co-ed.
The co-ed. Thank you, sir. Should you marry for love or for money?
Sorry, was that supposed to
be? Ronnie, you better be here at 9 o'clock sharp, brother. You better be here at 9 o'clock sharp. That's what I'm telling you, brother. We're gonna have the women on here, and, yeah, we're going to get into it, brother. We are going to get into it. You know I don't hold no cut cards. You know me, so, yeah, we're going to get into it next week. Be here. Co-ed.
Man, that is good. So with that said, thank you again. I'm going to cut this recording off.